Psalms 100.
No. Yes.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Yes.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Amen.
Amen.
Morning. Happy Sabbath. You guys spoil me here. You know, I'm usually very comfortable any place, but the Lord is so good that, you know, I've heard of these five-star accommodations. Well, I was treated to a 10-star accommodation, if there's such a thing, but I really appreciate Pastor Hugh and Deborah, and, you know, it's just been a blessing to spend this time with you. Got a beautiful church here. I love it. And you know, and I know the Lord provided for you. And you know, Jeremy was at Jerome. The Lord didn't just ain't by coincidence that you're here. The Lord has a divine plan for you being here. And he's got a plan for each and every one of our lives. It's good to see the young people working, you know, being the deacons and that. They're not the leaders of tomorrow. They're the leaders now. And they're walking right into it. And it's good to see that, you know, like I said yesterday, I got more years behind me than ahead of me, that the church is going to be in good hands. The young people are coming together, and they're supporting the work. And, you know, I just want to ask for, I know the Lord will guide you and direct you, and I'm just thankful that you're allowing him to use you. I also want to thank those that prayed with me. It is such a blessing not only to be prayed for, but to be prayed with. If somebody told me, Jim, I got your back with prayer, or I got $1 billion in this hand, which one do you want? I'll take the prayers every time. That touches my heart more than anything this world has to offer. Turn with me to, we're going to talk about prayer. There's great power in prayer. And we, as Christians, haven't even begun to scratch the surface when it comes to prayer. And I'm going to share what my prayer life is like. The Lord wants us, and he loves praise, loves to be praised. And it's good to see and hear the praises that went forth this morning. Turn with me to Psalm 150. And I've got the New King James Version. Psalm 150. Psalms is full of praise. When I pray, I pray to God through his word. And I'm going to paraphrase or show you how I pray the psalm of praise back to God. Psalm 150. Hallelujah to you, Lord. I praise you, Heavenly Father, in your sanctuary. I praise you for your mighty, in your mighty firmament. And I praise you according to your excellent greatness and for your mighty acts. Father, I'm not musically inclined, and you know that. But Father, by faith, I praise you with the sound of the trumpet, with the sound of the lute and the harp. I praise you with the timbrel and dance. And I praise you with stringed instruments and flutes. And I praise you with loud cymbals and clashing cymbals. Everything, Father, that has breath, all of your creation should be praising you. Hallelujah to you, Lord. The Lord loves to be praised, and he has these praise scriptures in the Word that we can learn more about the Lord and return his word to him. Thank you. You young folks, stay around me, will you? Okay. Isaiah 55:11. To me, one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. And this is God's word. And what does he say? So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, God says, it will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. After I have my confession of sin, you know, I praise the Lord, then I confess my faults before the Lord, and then I read this verse. Not that the Lord needs a reminding, but it helps me to build my faith, knowing that the Lord is faithful and true to his word. After I confess, I go to 1 John 1:9. And said, Father, your word already went forth through your servant John. And it says, if I confess my sins, which I have done, you are faithful and just to forgive me for my sins. And I thank you for that faithfulness, for that justice, for that forgiveness, for that mercy. But Father, you promised to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. And I claim that promise. I need that, Father. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. And you know, when I pray and confess my sins, I not only confess mine, but I confess the sins of my children, the sins of my wife. And it's biblical. Isaiah did that. Daniel did that. We can also do that. And basically, my children's sins, as I, you know, they're grown, but as I see them growing, they're a lot like mine. So, you know, I can confess my children's sins for not keeping the Sabbath, for their pride, for their selfishness and self-centeredness. These are all sins that we can confess because they, at least I can, because I see them happening in my children's lives. But then, you know, and I asked for the same cleansing for them, that we would all be cleansed from our unrighteousness. But in Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will stand or will prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Then it goes on to say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So the Lord has just cleansed us from unrighteousness. Now he's going to fill us with his righteousness. And there's only, and this next verse always troubled me. When can I claim this verse? Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When am I ever righteous? When can I claim this promise? When the Lord cleansed me from my unrighteousness after I confessed sins in First John 1:9. In Isaiah, he filled me with his righteousness. So it's the Lord's righteousness flowing through me that I can claim this promise. And then, and I love it. It says, effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then I can go forth with the Lord's righteousness flowing through me, not any of my own. And that's the only time I've ever been able to realize that is the only time we can claim this promise, when the Lord's righteousness is flowing through us. You know, after the prayer requests after we have emptied ourselves before the Lord. He wants to do so much for us and through us. You know, and I ask for that, not only, where did Monique go? You know, she works in a mental institution. The Lord wants to heal us. These minds that we are not taken into eternity. These minds are messed up. We all suffer from mental illness. Maybe not as bad as some others, but, you know, my mind has been seared with the garbage that I put in it before I became a Christian. And the enemy, and I've been a Christian now for over 30 years, but the enemy keeps pushing the buttons and bringing these things back to our minds that the filth that we put in it prior to that. But you know, when the enemy brings that up of my past, matter of fact, Paul tells us to forget the past, press on towards the future, to the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah says the same thing in Isaiah 43, 18, basically says the same thing. When the enemy brings your past up to you, remind him of his future. He's going to cease to exist. We're going to walk into eternity when Jesus returns. And we pray for the Holy Spirit. Jesus was very specific in Luke 11:13. Pray and ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. You know, we have confessed our sins. We've been filled with the Lord's righteousness. We can claim the promise, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father, I want this. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. Pour out the Holy Spirit. You promised to do it. Matter of fact, verse 10 says, "If for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened to." Father, I am asking, I'm seeking, knocking on your heart's door. Pour out your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit. I can't function on my own. You see the disaster I made in my own life without you. I need the Holy Spirit, and your word says that you will give it to me, and your word is sure and true. It will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you please and prosper in the thing for which you sent it. And then, you know, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we're seeking the Holy Spirit, I just lay petitions before the Holy Spirit. Don't give me rest day nor night until I walk into eternity. Be with my Father's household. And I mention my children by name, my siblings by name. And Holy Spirit, don't give them peace or rest day nor night until we walk into eternity with you. And you know, and the Lord wants to do that. What's nice to know is that the Lord is doing everything possible. All of heaven is doing everything possible to get us into eternity. They want us there more than we want to be there. And all of heaven is working. We are their central thought. This earth is their theme. Get us into eternity. And my mind is just troubled that, you know, and I know the Lord's promises are sure. He's not slack concerning his promises. But how his heart must ache. He must be shedding tears in heaven for what he sees going on to his creation on this earth. And he sees it all. And yet he is so long-suffering and patient, not wishing that any should be lost. And yet we go through our daily routine as if, well, we got another day. Or I can come to the Lord, or I can do this. The enemy has us so busy, especially the young folks. And I got to encourage you, young folks. You know, if you're wasting your time on video games, that's what the enemy wants you to do. If you're wasting your time doing anything other than being concerned about your relationship with Jesus, that's what the enemy wants to do, wants you to do. He don't care if he can pull you away from Christ for 5 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day, and eventually escalate where it'll be all day. The Lord, remember, one Jesus is more powerful than all the demons of hell. Amen. And all we have to do is cling to him And he will bring, he started a good work in us, he's going to bring it about to completion. If we allow him, we have to make the decision. Every decision that we make is either for or against Christ. Psalms 37. I want to start with verse 3. We'll start with verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you here have had the desires of your heart fulfilled? Okay. I can look back at my life even before I was a Christian. Yeah, because you've got your sweetheart now as a wife. I can look back at my life, and I didn't have high expectations, but the Lord knew what they were even before I knew the Lord, and he was fulfilling the desires of my heart. One of them was when I was a little kid, I couldn't even read. I would look at books that had country scenes, and I was probably 4 years old, but I knew back then I was going to live in the country. And when I was 22, the Lord provided a place. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this story, and I don't believe it happened myself, but I was in my office, and it was a newspaper, and I was looking through the newspaper, and there was a place for sale out in the country. And I asked a friend of mine, do you know where this town is? He said, yes. He lived in the country too. He said, could you take me there after work? So I said, I followed him and found out that the bank owned the house. I went down to the bank. I had an income tax check in my pocket, a very small one. I asked the bank president, manager, how much was the deposit? He told me, and it was the exact amount of the check that I had. I went home and told my wife I bought a house out in the country. And I praise God that she followed me. She wasn't pleased about it because all our family was in the city, which was like 40 miles away. And at that time, that was a long distance. That was back in 1962. Now you can speed in and out or travel in and out. I don't recommend speeding. But but it's like 35 minutes away. But at that time, it seemed like a long ways away. She really wasn't pleased with the idea to just pick up and move out in the country because all of our families were there within a 4 or 5 block area. But praise the Lord that she followed. And now she knows even, and she's been knowing for quite a while, that it was the best move that we ever made. And, I just praise God for a loving wife that was willing to, just follow me. Because, we've often thought, where would we be if we ever divorced? Our family would have been destroyed. I have 7 children, and our family would have been destroyed. And I just praise God that for the faithfulness of my wife. And for those of you that weren't here yesterday, when somebody asks me, how's your better half? I tell them I don't have one. I got a better three-quarter. So, because she's, if it wasn't for her, I'd be off in a different direction. But she keeps my focus. And matter of fact, when I talked to her this morning and last night, she said, I'm praying for you. And I love that. That I know my wife is praying for me, as well as I am for her. But we are united in prayer, and there's such great power in prayer. And that we need to be on our knees more and more and presenting ourselves to the Lord. All the while I was driving here, it was a 5-hour trip. Probably 80% of the time I was praying until I got close to the city. I had to watch for all these places I had to turn. But, we can be in communion with the Lord no matter where we are. We're his children. The same way as we listen to our children, even more so, our Heavenly Father is listening to us, wants to talk to us, wants to commune with us. And I don't know how he does it, especially on the Sabbath. You know, Pastor, on the Sabbath, is the Lord gets more prayers than any other time. And he can hear them all. You know, we talked about the mystery of God. I don't understand. I don't need to understand it. I just know by faith that I can communicate with him anytime. And, you know, as I petition the Lord, well, let me finish this up here. Commit your ways to the Lord. Okay, let me just back up here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it all to pass. Okay, delight yourself in the Lord. Petition, he's going to bring it all to pass, all your desires. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And Father, I say thank you, Father, for your righteousness. That's your righteousness that you're going to bring forth in me. And your justice is going to flow through me. And then rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We so often don't want to wait on the Lord. We want to run ahead of him. But the Lord is showing me more and more, trust in me. I got everything under control. You don't have to worry about this. You know, you're my son, and I want to take care of you. And he does. And, you know, I don't live in a lap of luxury or anything, but I don't expect much. I know in eternity, we will have all the lap of luxury we need. As we work for the Lord now, matter of fact, I used to tell Rick Kuntz, I don't know if any of you know him, he was a pastor, one of the best pastors I ever had, very humble, very sincere, very dedicated, had a burden for souls. And he was our pastor for a couple of years, and I was a head elder. And I used to tell him, you know, when I retire, I'm going to go down to Florida for 6 months out of a year. And he'd tell me the same thing every time I would say that. Jim, the South has enough workers. The North needs workers. And you're going to be retired for eternity anyways. So don't worry about the nice weather now. So he's got me convinced for many years now that, you know, the North is where the workers need to be. And as we go forth, the Lord always has work for us to do. I've been retired for 14 years. I don't have an idle day. You're always going. There's always something to do to keep occupied. And wherever you are in your experience, the Lord's got a mission for you, a work for you right there. You can touch people that I can't. You know, especially the young folks. You know, it's hard for a person like me, my age, to get to the young people that you know, or to talk to the young people that you know. So, you know, but you can communicate with them. You can talk to them on their level. You can bring them to Christ. And that's the whole deal where it's at. No matter where we are, we have to represent Christ in everything we think and say and do. We have to represent Christ. Turn with me to Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know if you ever noticed this, but, you know, I've read the fruit of the Spirit many times. But I never really read too much of the verses before it. And I'm just going to kind of breeze through that, the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to look from verses 19 to 21. The fruit of the Spirit are in 22 and 23. But chapter 5. Starting with verse 19, but I'm just going to breeze through 19, 20, and 21. These are the works of the flesh, the uncleanliness, adultery, fornication, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And I'm telling you this beforehand, because of such they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So the Paul puts it very plain that as we, if we have disagreements with each other, outbursts of wrath with one another, dissensions with one another, he says that it's the same as murder, same as adultery. So we have to guard our spirit very carefully. But he don't end there. That's why I like 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And I add humility and self-control. And I want your desires. I want all of these to flow through me, that I can truly represent you to whoever I come in contact with. These are the fruit of the Spirit. How are we living up to them? Are we allowing the Lord to make us into who and what he wants us to be? And are we more concerned about who we want to be? The Lord has a mission field for each one of us. There's nothing in between. We're either on the Lord's side and a witness for the Lord, or we're on the enemy's side and a witness for the enemy. There's nothing in between. And it's our choice who we want to represent. And the fruit of the Spirit will show us how to represent Christ. I'm going to back up here to number four of Psalms 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart. I was going through a situation. I was feeling kind of low, which is kind of a rarity for me. I'm always kind of upbeat. But I was going through a family situation, a custody thing, or a visitation thing about my grandson. And that dragged out for about 7 months. But while I was going through that, there was a period of time that, you know, I just needed some encouragement. So Psalm 121 was always a psalm that I looked for encouraging, to encourage me. But I was going to, and what I thought was going to Psalm 121, I was actually headed towards Psalm 21. And this is why, and I started to go back then to 121. I said, well, let me see what 21 says. Now, this was a little low point in my life. And this is King David wrote this. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. I claim this as a promise. Father, you did this for King David, and I know you can do it for me. You have always given me the desires of my heart. But Father, I see now that you've always given me the request of my lips. So I believe there's two different categories, the desires of our heart that the Lord wants to fulfill, and also the request of our lips. So my petition time during this time is, first, I present the desires of my heart, and secondly, I present the request of my lips. And I'll tell you, you need to uplift your pastors. You need to uplift your leaders in this church. Each and every one. The enemy is out there to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. Pastor Claudio, you know, the Lord has sent him here. Pastor Hugh has been here. You know, just pray for them. Encourage them, uplift them, as well as the elders and the deacons, deaconesses, the clerk, the treasurer, every leader in the church. The enemy is out to destroy them especially. So encourage your and uplift your leaders. We need it. I get on three or four different prayer lines a week, and we're always praying for the pastors. And not only the pastors, but their families. And their families need a lot of uplifting. You know, most pastors are gone hours a day. They get one day off. Every time we would get a new pastor, first thing I'd ask them after, you know, we talked, I'd ask them, what is your day off? And most of them had Monday for a day off. And so I used to encourage the church, don't bother the pastor unless it's an emergency on his day off. And so I'd encourage you to do that. find out what your pastor's days off are, and or day, they usually only get one day. But you know, don't bother them unless it's an emergency. But pray for them. There is such great power in prayer. And as we present the desires of our heart and the request of our lips, you know, pray for your conference officials too, your officers, your their staff, the secretaries. And hopefully all of you know your president and your executive secretary and all of the secretaries in the office, mention them by name, that the Lord will bless them and their families. After I present all my petitions to the Lord, I look at Mark chapter 11, which I mentioned in Sabbath school. Mark 11, starting with verse 22. Mark 11, starting with verse 22. And these are the verses that I end my scripture readings at. Mark 11:22 and 23. Have faith in God. This is Jesus speaking. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do not doubt. Have faith. Believe. And the Lord will provide every petition. The mountains in our life, mountains of debt, mountains of the desires of my heart, mountains of the request of my lips. Father, you said they would be removed. And I'm trusting. And there's no doubt in my mind. I know all you have to do is speak, and it will happen. And as we trust in the Lord, and then I end with Job 13:15. Though you slay me, yet I will trust you. Okay? We're going to see things happen. I mean, we've already seen exciting things happen. You know, in my lifetime, I've seen men on the moon. You know, we've seen, when I was in high school, and it's totally amazed me when I look back at it, I was in an automotive shop, or automotive assembly, and they had a video that they were showing. I don't know if it was videos back then, but they were showing this thing on the screen, and it showed all of these roads going over the top of each other underneath the bridges and all that, like we see today. I seen that back in 1957. But what amazed me the most about that, when I look back, they had the aerodynamic cars going over. Not the, like in the 50s, we had these big cars, beautiful cars. Excuse me. But they had these aerodynamic cars way back there in the 50s that we're driving today. And they knew way back then what the cars were going to look like. But it took them how many years? 40 more years to catch up to? So, you know, I have seen a lot of things happening. And those of you that are my age have seen a lot of things happening in our lifetime. And things are happening so rapidly now that, you know, if Jesus... Well, he promises to come, or else there'll be no flesh left alive. Jesus is so near to coming. Now's no time to be playing church. Now's the time to press together, she says, press together. The church family, bring together, press together, because in unity there is strength. Division, you fall apart. So whatever you have to do, just continue to press together. I just want to open it up to the floor if there's a prayer, not a prayer request, but a prayer answered that you want to share. How you prayed and the Lord provided. Thank you, brother. How the Lord provided the answer to that. Okay, there's one over here.
Happy Sabbath, church.
Happy Sabbath.
I didn't want to get up and speak because I'm not a public speaker, but I have to share this with you. This week I was very ill. As a matter of fact, I was so ill, I told my son to call the attorney and to get things in order. I went to the hospital, they couldn't find anything. So I went to my doctor and he sent me for some tests. But before that, my son called both pastors, Pastor Yu and the other pastor, Gomez, and they came to my house and they prayed for me. It had to be the power of prayer.
No doubt about it.
Because there's no explanation on how sick I was, and I know how I was feeling, and I know what God was telling me to do. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that God is so good.
Amen.
And the power of prayer is remarkable.
That's right. Thank you, sister. Is there another I would like to share? Go ahead.
I'd like to be thankful also. God is always protecting me and guiding me. And I wouldn't know what to do without that, because with him not being in my life, I would be a total disaster, leading to destruction, literally. But he's gradually opening up my ministry. He's starting to open up my mind. I liked when we went to the lady meeting, where they say you have to start empowering other people to be disciples.
Amen.
And you know, that little seed that was planted here before that message was given out. And I got to give credit to Joanna, who started and says, you know, I want my son to be more active in church.
All right.
And I was like, oh, okay. I wonder why she brought that up. And then she says, well, he can help out, you know, collecting offering. And that was like a catalyst. Now, God has put it in my heart to tell him, take charge. You can run this. You're intelligent. You know the youth, as you said. And you can delegate these responsibilities. And little things like that in my life, he's just constantly opened these doors. I just have to trust him and go through them.
Amen.
And when we do, you know, great things he has stored for us. We read the stories of Samuel when he was a kid and he's calling him. And he goes and he says, you call me? You call me, Master? And no, go back to sleep. Three times that occurred before it dawned on him. Oh, there's something behind this. Next time you get that message, you answer this way. I'm here, Lord. Ask your servant. He'll do whatever you ask. And guess what? The youth of this church are asking.
Praise
the members of this church are asking. We just have to give them the opportunity.
Amen.
So they can walk through those same doors and God can perform the same miracles in their lives.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Earlier it was said that, you know, about the youth. I think this young man right here was saying that, you know, I think God, you know, place me. Well, my purpose on life is to guide the youth, because of before anything, I went to New Hampshire and I studied, you know, the sanctuary, you know, things
right.
of this sort. And it was always placed in my mind over the years that I should have a school. So I can be an influence for the youth. And I think I have an amazing gift that God gave to me, that I can speak to young people. That's what you were saying.
Amen.
You know, it's not easy to speak to them, but I find it easy myself that I can speak to anyone, no matter how old you are. There's, you know, I think what I went through throughout my life was to be a testimony for the youth. So if I can do it, so can they. You know, so I want to. No, you said that prayer that were answered, but this prayer will be answered soon enough.
Amen.
And I want to thank God for, you know, giving me knowledge yet, but I still need wisdom to ask for prayer for that.
You know, Jerome, you said you got on the internet and found that Joey Troy. Did I understand that right? Yeah, you know, it wasn't a coincidence that you got on the internet and found the Joy of Troy.
No.
It was a divine appointment.
Right.
And you're here today because of a divine appointment.
Amen.
And remember that the Lord has sent you here. Don't let no one or no thing turn your head the other way.
No, thank you.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. You're welcome. The Lord has blessed my best friend, Chris. We've been best friends for 30 years, so we have our struggles, and sometimes our desires do get the worst out of us, and I'm trying to fight that. Sometimes I don't succeed, sometimes I do succeed, but I know the Lord's not giving up on me. And he gave me a miracle. He gave me a miracle with the food stamps, and I have to thank Pedro for praying for me on that. And I wanted to hug the Lord and Pedro for that. Amen. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, I just have one more story I want to tell you. You know, I've often wondered, you know, we're told in the last days that God's people will be working miracles. There'll be healing. There'll be, encouragement coming from all over. Jesus said we'll be doing greater miracles than he did. And how greater miracle than raising somebody from the dead could we do? But it's the multitude of miracles that he was talking about. They'll be happening all over. I had a friend, matter of fact, a new church member recently. Him and this other person, they go out in the woods and they forage, find out what they can eat in the woods to sustain their life. Well, they picked up the stuff and took it home, and they were going to clean it up and eat it, but the one person put it aside and was going to do it the next day. The other person, and this was like 10 o'clock at night, took a 3-inch piece of the stuff and ate it. He went blind, 3 times went blind, died 3 times. His pulse was, his blood pressure was 30 over zero, 3 times. And I went to the hospital, and all the way to the hospital I'm driving, he called me while this was happening. I called the police to get somebody down because I'm 40 miles away from him. I called the police, told them what was happening. They got an ambulance over there, and if they didn't get the ambulance, he would have died right then. They took him to the hospital, and all the while I'm praying, and I'm trying to get a hold of this other person to see if they ate any of this stuff, and didn't answer the phone. It's a person that goes to bed early, so be careful what time you go to bed. And finally, they answered the phone, and I told them what was happening. I said, did you eat any of that stuff? They said, no. It was called false hellebore, which is a very deadly plant. What they used it for, they used to put it in medicine to lower your blood pressure. And it was just a minute amount that they would put in this blood pressure medication. But they couldn't control it, so they stopped using it. So all the while I'm driving, and this other person started praying for him too, because since he joined the church, he's been such a blessing to the church and to our radio station. Just whatever we need him to do, or what, he even volunteered to do all this different stuff. Well, that's how I was praying. When Dorcas died, they brought out the blankets and that she made, the quilts and all that, and presented and said, Peter, she did so much, and Peter raised her from the dead. So I was claiming that same word. I got to the hospital, and the sheriffs came out, told his son was there too, told his son he's not going to make it. And there was a period of time that he was conscious, so I went in there, and he said, this other person that was with him while they were, foraging, said, he went in there, he smiled, and we're always kidding this other person. She's a blonde girl. We're always kind of kidding her about being blonde, and so he said, there are two sheriffs in there, and I'm there, and he was conscious for just a little moment, and he said, she's trying to kill me. And I knew he was kidding, but the sheriffs, that's all they had to hear. So they did this big investigation. They started a attempted murder investigation. Then when they heard she wasn't going to make it, or he wasn't going to make it, they started a murder investigation. They searched his house, searched his computer, everything. The next day, he was in intensive care that night. The next morning, he went home. And only through the power of prayer. There's such great power in prayer. And he ate 3 inches of this thing. And all they used was just a minute amount in the medication to lower blood pressure. And they didn't know what to do. There's only 7 cases like this in the United States. And I think three or four of them died. And it's only through the power of prayer and claiming God's word that Gary is alive and well and functioning and everything else. No, and he was intensive care, and the next day when they came, he told doctors he wants to go home. I said, we can't release you. You're intensive care. We can't release you. He said, I don't care what it is. I want to go home. and he's been straight ever since. So, we just praise God for the answer to prayer. And he wants to do so much for his people and through his people. Give him the privilege that you can be used by him. Okay? And when he returns, we'll walk right into eternity with him. Is that your desire, that you want to walk right into eternity with Jesus when he comes? As I pray, just raise your hand. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word and the surety of it, Father. We just praise you, Father, that we can depend on you. We have the faith in you. We trust you. You've proven yourself to us over and over and over again. And we love you, but need to love you so, so much more. Continue to bring us into a closer, more meaningful, saving relationship with you. That when Jesus returns, we can walk right into eternity with him. You see the upraised hands, Father. We are your children. And it's our heritage, Father, our inheritance, that heaven is ours. We are the rightful heirs of eternity with you. And I thank you that you will bring us into that relationship with you. For we ask it in the powerful, precious, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.